Good. I'd like to talk a little bit about Midas Sadaim. This week's parasha we have the destruction of the city of Sadaim, and what Chazal took from Midas Sadaim, for the most part, is a honesty, a certain attitude in Dinei Mammon. So first I'd like to share with you a little story, something that happened. It was actually a sichsuch between two parties, and the story itself is interesting, but the lesson is a little deeper than the story. The maisa happened that two people came to me with a sichsuch. When two people are willing to deal in Dinei Mammonis without fighting, trying to look for the truth, I sometimes get involved in Dinei Mammon. And here was an employer and an employee. They came. I used one of the offices in the yeshiva. I met with them. So they were both mechabit each other. There was no animosity, but they had a very sharp difference of opinion. It seems that the employee who happened to be a woman, she was working for this employer for a very long time, for many, many years. And she got paid whatever her salary was, and she got health benefits. She got health insurance. And at a certain point, she realized that she can get health insurance through her husband. And she went to tell her employer that she can get health insurance through her husband. And here is where they had a difference of opinion. She says that he told her beferish that he'll give her whatever it cost him insurance. He's been paying insurance, let's say $12,000 a year. He's been paying her insurance. So she says that he told him beferish that he'll give her the $12,000 that he was paying all along. So she'll make some money on it. And he says that I told the beferish that I'm not giving you money for it. If you want to go off, go off. I'm not paying you. And here they are, two sensible people, saying total opposite things. So I asked her why she didn't realize right away in a paycheck that the paycheck didn't change. It should have gone up. So she said she thought that she gets a bonus at the end of the year. She thought he's going to add it to the bonus. And then she said that when the bonus came and it wasn't there, she went into him and said, what's with the health insurance? And again, she says, he said, don't worry, you'll get it. And he says, no, when you came in, I said, you're not entitled to it. And again, you know, they'll be shalom. He wants her to keep on working for him, and she plans to keep on working for him. But they have this dispute. By the time they came to me, it was almost a year's worth of health insurance money that they're fighting over. So what do you do? You know, he says this, and he says this. So I said, well, right, it's an easy one. But it bothered me, how did the dispute come about? So I asked them to try to remember what was the conversation. What was the conversation? What exactly was the conversation that took place? Bishas Maisa. So after a little prodding, it came out that the following conversation took place. She went into him and she said, you know, you're paying $12,000 a year for health insurance. Now I could get it for free through my husband. So he responded to her. He said, good. Zenehenev is Elai Chaser. That was his response. So what happened? He meant, Zenehenev is me. Vizelai Chaser is you. He says, what he said. I meant, Zenehenev, I'm going to gain, I don't have to pay your insurance. Vizelai Chaser, and you have no loss. So it's wonderful. She heard, Zenehenev is her. Vizelai Chaser, and he has no loss. And when he came the second time, he said, I told you, Zenehenev Zalai Chaser. She said, good, Zenehenev Zalai Chaser. So here, they're both 100% honest. I didn't make this one up. This happened. they're both 100% honest. And one person said one thing, and one person said the other thing. So Zenehem is Alechasa, and Zenehem is Alechasa. So what we did in that case is a separate issue. But the Musa Shabbai is how in Dine Mominis, it's the nature of a person to always hear what works for him. That's human nature. When it comes especially to Mammon, a person always hears what's good for him. And it can be interpreted two ways. And here, it really can be interpreted two ways. You know, Zeh and Zeh. Now, if you would have said Zoi and Zeh, one female and one male, so we could figure out which one's which. Zeh and Zeh, you know, it's like, it was totally... My point is that Dine Mominis, very, very often, when people have a sichsuch and they come for a psak, people are dehitzed that they're right, and it ends up becoming a big machlaikis, a big dispute. And very often there are two ways of looking at something. There are two ways of looking at something, and since there are two ways of looking at it, it's not always the way it seems to you. Every person interprets things by nature the way it makes sense for him. And it's not always that way. So somebody fixed up his house, and in the front of his house, you could see he has a brick front, and he has a semicircle of concrete by the brick, and there he put a stone bench. Put a bench. And I walk past, I don't know the owner, I walk past the house, it's a from Yid, he has a mezuzah. He put a sign on the bench, do not sit on this bench. Do not sit on this bench. So I started to declare whether I'm allowed to sit on the bench. He said, do not sit on the bench. It's a stone bench, I'm not going to break it. And no time to sit on the bench till the sign came up, you understand. It's right across the street from the house where the light goes on when you walk by. So we always walk on that side of the street. And we're clearing if I'm allowed to sit on the bench. I'm not allowed to sit on the bench. What do you say? I'm allowed to sit on the bench. It's at the edge of his territory. It's on his property. But it's...
Why should it be like that?
What?
He says not to do it.
It's illegal.
It's illegal? It's a sign on his property that you can't go on those trespassing.
So why can't I go on? What's trespassing? If I stand on someone's, they can arrest me. If I stand on
his... Is there a cluster? Why is there a cluster? He's not losing money. He's not losing monetarily, but he's losing in other ways.
What's he losing?
It bothers him.
If somebody has a mishigas, that something bothers him. If it was a mishigas, something bothers him. I have to worry about his mishigas.
If it's his, then yeah, I mean...
Does he have a right to put up a sign like that? Does a person have a right? Assuming there's no... Maybe someone sits there and leaves cigarettes all the time. I don't know. But assuming, does a person have a right to put up such a sign? Don't sit on my bench. It's a solid bench, a stone bench. And the man spent money fixing up his house. He could afford a nice stone bench. It's a solid stone bench with concrete sticks holding it up. And I don't weigh that much. If I sit on it, it's not gonna break it, not gonna damage it. There's no question in halacha. He has no right to put up such a sign. I don't think there's a question. What? Now, if somebody's gonna come and do things that cause him a loss, then it's something else. Somebody's sitting on the bench, right? If he'll come, I'll give him the bench. I'm not looking to take it when he comes by. See, most Americans have a very strong sense of bias, of ownership. And most Yidden have a strong sense of ownership. And Yidden, who are Americans, have a super strong sense of ownership. It's mine. What do you mean it's mine? All right, so it's yours. So what if it's yours? Now, we say, Zenehen of Ezelechos is Midas Sedayim. It's Midas Sedayim. Now, I'm not judging that person. I never spoke to him. Maybe people... I mean, if teenagers are sitting there at night and making noise, I don't think putting up a sign, do not sit here, is going to help him very much. But for him to put up a sign for ordinary people, shouldn't sit on his bench. It's Zenehen of his Alay Chaser. He certainly, it's Midas Sadaim to put up such a sign. What? All right, if you could explain that there's some Hefsid, I understand. But if there's no Hefsid, assuming there's no Hefsid, is it Midas Sadaim? Am I allowed to sit there like Hatchila? Remember? It was a machlaik is Tyson Bava Kama, Tyson Bava Basra. By Midas Sadaim, by Zenehem Zalei Chaser, and Bava Kama, Tyson said, you know, I'll sit there. Tyson Bava Basra, in the first parak, I think, seemed to say Fakarat. Said, Kaifin Amida Sadaim. The Gemara says, Kaifin Amida Sadaim. So could the Tyson Bava Basra understands Kaifin Amida Sadaim. I could sit there. I could force him to let me sit there. Tyson Bava Kama holds that Kaifin Amida Sadaim only means that he can't charge me for it. It doesn't mean that I can force him to sit here lechatchila. But lekuli almin shalaykedin. If you ask anybody, a typical American person, you don't give him a hint by talking about Sadaim. Just ask him. Somebody has a bench. Somebody's sitting on it. It's solid stone. No one's not going to break it. Are you allowed to sit there? If somebody has a brick front of his house. You want to sit on the bricks? You want to rest for a few minutes? Are you allowed to sit there? He has a sign, don't sit here. Most people have the impression that if you say, no, I'll sit there, it's his. You're not allowed to sit there. It's funny, then I ask people, what happens if he has a nice painting? And he has a sign, do not look at this painting. So I don't know why everyone says, no, then you're allowed to look. Can someone explain to me why everyone has an impression, if it says, do not sit on this bench, say, no, I'll sit on the bench. It says, do not look at the painting, then that doesn't apply. You're allowed to look. What's the difference?
No potential damage.
If you're talking about damage, I'm asking. My given is there's no damage. Yes, a lot of houses have the bricks in front of the house. He wants to sit on the bricks. Nothing's going
to
break.
I think that's with property. If you can't walk on the person's property to see the painting, then everyone's possible. You can't walk on
the
property to see the painting. You can't come.
So why can't you walk on someone's property? But he doesn't need the space. If he wants to be here, I'll move over. It's not a problem.
Why can't you walk into his house?
I walk by. Never
walk into his house.
I can walk into his house if it doesn't bother
me. Just relax.
Shachrui de'ashayse. The Gemara says when you use somebody's house, it does damage to the house. Otherwise, it would be mutter.
Okay.
It's a type of mutter.
What?
I just
want to have to get up. He can charge.
If I see him coming, I'll get up.
He
doesn't have to tell me. I'll get up as soon as I see him coming.
He could charge rent. He could say, if you want to do that,
$2,000.
Now it's something that he could have made money.
He can only charge rent if it's something that's aiming. It's aiming for it to be rented.
It's a bench. I'm charging $2,000.
It's a joke. It's not.
There was no paper. Are you letting move in while still there?
So that is the machlokes of two tais. If tais on me, the sedaim means I can move in. Well, no. Let's say I have a neighbor. I know he's never to stroll for 2 months. Can I park in his driveway? I park in his driveway. Local Lamaisa. Somebody's out of town. I know he went away for Shabbos. I want to park in his driveway. Now, driveways to Americans are like, you know, kind of Russian. New York is for sure. Driveway. I was once sitting, getting a shear. It was about 9:45. Somebody walks in. Who's blocking my driveway? I said, why are you getting so excited? Why are you getting so excited? You'll find parking in the next block. You don't have to get high blood pressure from something blocking your driveway. I didn't say anyone has a right to block your driveway, but why do you get so excited? People get, like, super excited. I'm not telling anybody to block anyone's driveway, but I don't understand. There's such a sense of possession that makes it very, what? It's true, you shouldn't block his driveway. If you block someone in, I really understand. You're causing him hefsid. You block him out, so you know, talk. It's like.
No, that's very reasonable. You lose an hour of time for a parking spot.
It's true. I agree, no one should park, but that people have this anger and indignation when it comes to things they own. I'm just saying that we should have a better ashkafa on these things. Have a better ashkafa on these type of things that you know, it's I don't know. I wonder if someone is driving down Coney Island Avenue and there's a frum yid waiting at a bus stop and you don't pick him up, is that midas adayim? Is that midas adayim? You're driving a koni alnevi, you're going to yeshiva anyway. Isn't that midas adayim not to pick someone up? It's zeneh and evzal echaser, isn't it? It's not zeneh and evzal echaser. What case? How much case are you going to use? The guy might kill you? He's a yeshiva boy. He's a bachur of yeshiva. I think it's midas adayim, unless you have a reason.
You could get a ticket for it, but
get a ticket for what?
Picking up the
track. If it's someone you know, you don't get a ticket.
Yeah,
so you know.
But it's, yeah.
You don't need this to die, man. I just want you to pick up. So it's safe person. I'm not talking, you know. Right, my goal is really to get people, when people think about money, to think about it in a different light. That happens to be that one of the big chesroinis in the way people think about money is that people confuse yosher with dinei mamonis. This idea of yosher, we call it lotes yidei shamayim or mechusrei amuna. The Chazal have a lot of expressions for people doing the right thing. And then there's chayshim mishpat. Now, you know that it's not the same. There are things that you could be teveya someone, you have a right to be teveya someone, and there are things you have no right to be teveya, it's yaisha to do. If someone tells you he's going to sell you something, if someone says I'm going to sell you something, and then changes his mind, if someone says I'm quitting my job, you can have the job, then changes his mind. If we learn many, many times, if there's no kinyan, a person has a right to change his mind. You can't be teveyim. It's not even mishapara. People confuse it. Saying something is only, it's called mechusrei amuna. It's a lack of faith. A good person, you say something, you stick to it. And even mechusrei amuna, if circumstances change, it's not mechusrei amuna. You tell somebody, you tell your neighbor, well, neighbor is a question of I'm selling him a house because of bar mitzvah. But let's say you tell somebody, when I sell my house, I'll sell it to you for this amount of money. You tell them that. Comes time to sell your house, the price went up. It's not even b'chusrei amuna. You're allowed to say, you know, I changed my mind. The price went up. Nishtana hashar. It's not even b'chusrei amuna. When is there a mishapara? A mishapara is only where? If you did a kinyan kesef, I'm a taltalim. On karka kesef is kind of. I'm a taltalim. Someone gave money. He went into a store. He said, I want to buy that. And he gave money. He's still allowed to back out because kesef is not kind of a taltalim without a real kinyan. And since kesef is not kind of a taltalim without a real kinyan, he can change his mind. Now, if you ask me if you should change your mind, I'll tell you don't change your mind. It's a mishapara. But if he wants to change his mind, what can you do? There's nothing you can do about it if he wants to change his mind. So there's a certain attitude when it comes to dinei mamon that people have this indignation. They know they're right. And you have to look at chayshim mishpat. Someone says in his entire, he says, I want you to paskin based on what's yashu. I would tell him, I'm going to paskin based on what's the chayshim mishpat. Everyone thinks yashu is the way he sees things. Not everything is the way people see things. In American law, there's such a thing as bankruptcy. In American law, a person could owe money to a lot of people and declare bankruptcy, and then he doesn't have to pay. The law. There's no such thing in halacha. Halacha doesn't recognize bankruptcy. If Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and Shimon declares bankruptcy, he still owes Reuven all the money he owed him. And Dina D'machus Adina doesn't change it. Because you're not breaking American law by paying him, by giving him money. D'machus Adina is not makbid that two people can't have arrangements that are different than what it says in American law. So that, again, is a misconception. Americans grow up with the idea of bankruptcy. Most just thing.
Yeah,
What?
Well, she cuts it with interest. The only reason I paid for it is to pay interest for the risk that my guy might go bankrupt.
No, bankruptcy has nothing to do with interest.
What?
Bankruptcy has zero to do with interest.
It makes sense to have an American law that doesn't allow you to pay interest.
All right, American law can make sense. I have no problem. I'm just saying that halacha doesn't recognize if you borrow money from someone, you can't declare bankruptcy and be potter. Okay, you can't declare bankruptcy and be potter. Very often there's a dintaira, and someone loses a dintaira, and he asks, why did you believe him and not believe me? Why did you believe him and you didn't believe me? Now the halacha is that dayanim don't have to tell the reason for the psak to the balei dinim. It usually just creates more problems. And Chayshim Mishpat, it says that dayanim don't have to give the reason for the psak to the balei din, unless it's a milsa d'tmiya in their eyes. If it's a milsa d'tmiya, then you're supposed to give the reason. If it's something that seems strange, you're supposed to give the reason. I recently had a sichsuch between two people. And one said one story, one said the other story. There was no acute answer to what was said. And the psak was that the person doesn't have to pay. There were no rayas to either side. All of Araya. So it was a sichsuch, and we sent the psak the next day by email to both sides. So one side had a taina, why'd you believe him? You didn't believe me. This person, I don't know if he's a ben tyra and he should know better, or just when it's a get to your money, you don't realize. So we told him, we didn't believe you, we didn't believe him. We don't know. All of Araya. You have no rayas, so you can't be mighty mammon from him. That idea, again, is an example of where people get aggravated over money. Chafetz Chaim writes that before you hire somebody, you should write down what the agreement is. You should always write what's the agreement. And that way, you won't have later, you won't have sechsuchim. If you write it down, you won't have sechsuchim. This is the entirety of an employer, and then somebody who worked for him. And he said he only agreed to pay him if he's successful and what he had to do. And the other said, no, you're supposed to pay me by the hour, and they had a sissuch. It looks like one of them is lying. It's very hard to figure out, you know, a nice story to how it was said. And I said, all right, had they had a written contract, they would have written it down, then it would have been good. There's a midah called Vitor, Vav Yav Yud Tav Vav Resh. Chaim Kanievsky in his Arches Yashar has a section called Vitor. In Dine Mominis, in life in general, it's important for a person to be a Vatra. I once had an experience with somebody I'm very close with. He hired a worker, and I told him, you should write down your agreement. You should write down your agreement. He told me, he never hired someone and the person walked away with tainus. He's mevater any time there's a disagreement. B'shita in life, he's mevater. And that's why he didn't write a contract. He's mevater. To be mevater, to be someone who's able to look the other way, when it comes to mammon, is a tremendous challenge, because money, people work hard for their money and people want to use their money for other things. And to be a mevater is an extraordinary challenge. There's a Pliadika Gemara in Perek Chelek. Now, it's only a Plia if you know who Achav was. Okay? Achav is one of the three kings, She'enam Chelek V'Olam Haba, a Jewish king. The Mishnah says there are seven people, three kings that have no chance for V'Olam Haba, and one of them is Achav. Yeravam Achav Menashe. It's not a joke. I was learning Sanhedrin when I was in the dorm as a bacher. We had my late night shir, Chavrusa, we learned Sanhedrin. We got to Parachelik, and we learned this Mishnah. We had no idea not who's Dayega mentions, and Achitayfel, and Yeravam, and Achav. We had no idea who they were. The only name we knew in the Mishnah that has no Chelik in Olam Haba was Menashe. Because in Chumash, you learn Menashe and Ephraim, so we knew Menashe has no chelik in Olam Haba. We couldn't figure out why Menashe had no chelik in Olam Haba. Anybody tell me why? So the next day we went to Rebelsky, we asked him, who's Dayig? Who's Achi Teifel? We went through the list. And then we asked him, why Menashe has no chelik in the Olam Haba? So he laughed at us. You should also laugh and pretend you get the joke, otherwise, So Achav was, the Pasuk says, I think the Lashon HaKro is, Lohoyo Kamoisai Shehismakir Lasis Harabe in Hashem. He was awful. So Gemara says that, the Mishnah says, and the Psukim say the terrible things. You know, he was the one with Izebel and all kinds of awful things. Then there's the Gemara. The Gemara says innocently that Achav was Mechza al Mechza, was 50-50. On the man, on the balance scale is 50-50. Gemara says, Mishanemo Allah, Shalaya Kamaisa, Shesmaka, Lassa, Rabbein Hashem, you say it was 50-50. So the Gemara answers that Achav was a Mevater b'malaynei. When it came to Mamanis, he was an awful fella. He, Avodah Zarah was his thing. But when it came to Mamanis, the Kinyanim, he was a Mevater. As the Gemara says, the Dava Pelim. Here you have a person, and the Gemara seems to say, like, you know, he just missed it. You know, it's 50-50. Had been a couple, you know, had he put on tefillah one more day, he would have weighed the scale the other direction. It's a double pal. There's a machlokes rishayim. When it comes to the Yom HaDin, la'asid lavai, how the din works. So let's say you have a person, he comes, every one of us, someday, hopefully Acham Eves, we're going to come to the Yom HaGadol V'Anayra, in the Bezen Shel Mahala, and they'll have this scale, and they'll put your mitzvahs on one side, your veilus on the other side. It's a frightening day. So we're stunned by all of us, the mitzvahs will outweigh the Averis easily. But you still have, a person still has Averis. So if you did tshuva, so the Averis get flipped. Either they get taken off or flipped to the mitzvah side, but let's say a person comes with Averis. So how's it work? Let's say you have a person, he's got, I don't know numbers to choose, but just to express, he has 10 million mitzvahs, 10 million schlossim, he's got 20 Averis. So for 20 Averis, you have to, a person gets punished for his Averis, no Averis. You know, the Gra was once traveling, and there was a friar Yid, and he told the Yid, you take me a drink, make a shahakol. He said, Rebbe, I do every Aver in the book. I eat treifis, I wear shatnis, I eat oivans nus, I'm a chal shabbos, you're telling me to make a bracha. So the Gra told him, you should know, that even if you do all the Averis, if you don't make a bracha, you're going to have to give din a cheshbon on that also. Not batel b'raiv, you know. You have din a cheshbon on that also. Make a bracha. So a person, he's got 20 million mitzvahs, he's got 10 averis. So what happens? So shaila is this. Can a person say, Rabbi Hashem, listen, you know, this Gehenna business is not for me. Just do me a favor. Take off the 10 averis on this side and 10 mitzvahs on this side, and they'll cancel each other out. And I'll go straight to Gan Eden with 10 less mitzvahs, you know. 20 million, 10 less, I'll manage. Is the person able to cancel out mitzvahs and averis on the Yom HaDin? So, there's a tshuva, tshuvas haga'inim, that says you can. There's a tshuva from, I think it's a Shira guy, one of the ga'inim, that says you can cancel it out. It comes to Yom HaDin, you can make a deal. You cancel it out. The Rambam in Mer Nevuchim Beferish, and I think in Hilchos Tshuva, Perikimel Halacha Ches, if I remember correctly, in Hilchos Tshuva he says he can't cancel it out. A person has to give in a cheshbon for everything. There's no canceling out. It's a machlokes rishayim if there's such a thing as canceling out. In the Sefer Chassidim he brings the Shitas Hagayim. And in the footnote, there's a pirish called Makar Chesed underneath. He has a kasha from Achav. He has a kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam says you can't cancel that. He says, what about Achav? The Gemara by Achav says, Achav was a mevata b'mamaynai. The Lashon Gemara is that he almost made it. He almost made it not to go to Gehenna. You see, you could cancel that. And the answer on the Shita Sarambam is that Vitor is different. The Gemara says, Kol amar al-midaisav, mevriyun lo al-midaisav et shemayim. It's a similar lashon by Vitor. Vitor is not a well-known expression. But kol ha-mevaser, mevaserin loy. Not mevaser like the Suras Taivas, but mevater, lashon of vitor. Vitor is to be able to say, I deserve something, and I'm a vater, I give up what I have a right to. What I have a right to, I'm a vater. That's the mida of vitor. Vitor is, I have a taina, and I swallow it. It's the only moment. It's a behavior, all types of behavior is that way. The nicest, most touching vitor story I ever heard was from a neighbor. We lived back to back with a family on East 18th Street. And they were in the country. And he worked in the city. He came into the city, went up to the country. And his wife called him and said, I need a checkbook. Bring me a checkbook. So he said, at the end of the week, he finished work. He went up to the country. He was already in Manhattan. And he realized he forgot the checkbook. He asked me to leave my wife without a checkbook. That's my dream. You know, But look, he's a good fella. So he drove back home. Drove back home from Manhattan. And got the checkbook and drove back up to the country. Now, he and his wife always had this thing that he's neat and she's more messy, and you know, it gets on his nerves all the time, but that's part of life. You know, it happens sometimes. So he said he got up to the country and he came in, he gave his wife the checkbook. So he said on one of the cribs there was a shopping bag was hanging, a paper shopping bag. And she took the checkbook, she just threw it into the shopping bag. He was thinking to himself, that's not where a checkbook belongs, you know, in the shopping bag. But he was quiet, didn't say anything. And he went back to the city next week. He came up, he saw the checkbook still in the shopping bag on the crib. He said it bothered him. But he swallowed, he didn't say anything. You know, if you're not there a whole week, you know, you want to be nice, a little extra careful. So he was, you know, he didn't say anything. He swallowed it. He said he came up a third week. It's still the checkbook that he had to drive back. She needs a checkbook. It's still in the shopping bag on the crib. And you know, he wanted to say something. Why do you leave a shopping bag on a crib for 2 weeks? You know, and all it holds is a shirt. He didn't say anything. The next week he was in the city. And his wife, who he knew very well, his wife was expecting. And she went into labor. And she hemorrhaged. And she died. She died on the. She died in the delivery room from hemorrhaging. And it was a very. I tell you, it was a very sad and touching moment. And we went to Levaya. The whole Flatbush went at that time to Levaya. And everyone came to be Menachem Oval. So he told the story about this checkbook. He said that always got on his nerves. Whenever he told his wife, why are you leaving this here? She always said to him, is there lo chashuv? It's not important. What's the difference? Is there lo chashuv? That was her line to him. It always got on his nerves. Whenever he told her, you know, he says, like, why are the dishes still in the sink from 2 nights ago? Is there lo chashuv? She would always say, is there lo chashuv? During the week of Shiva, he took that shopping bag and he wrote with a magic marker on the side of it, Zelo Chashuv, and he hung it up in his house for his kids. He had at that time young kids, this goes back about a dozen years. They should remember their mother, Zelo Chashuv. You know, he was healed from his kpedis, unfortunately, in a very difficult way. But Zelo Chashuv, it's a very touching story about how in life we get caught up in the little things. And people get caught up. People who have plenty of money get caught up in sechsuchim, in fights, in disputes, where they have friends that they don't talk to anymore, sometimes relatives they don't talk to anymore. And it's not that they're poor people. It's not that they're poor. There can be mevater. It's right. What's right is right. No, not what's right is right. What makes sense. You know, if it makes sense, then it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, so why be machped on other people? Just because you're right? I once read a, see if I can remember it on the spot, it just comes to mind. I once read a, about people being right. A short, where did it go? It was a tombstone. It said, "Here lies Mr. Way. Here lies Mr. Day. He died defending his right of way. He was right. It was his light. But he's dead anyway." A very powerful lesson. That was his light. He was right. But he's dead anyway. People do that all the time. They're right. It's their light in whatever part of life. But they're dead anyway. You know, what did I have for me? What did I have for me? It's... The idea of Vitor is it's a wonderful Midah. It's the Hepach of Midah Sadaim is to be Mevater. And to be Mevater is a pass. Lost Achav almost made it based on Vitor. It's a talented thing. That Achav almost made it based on Vitor. I'll tell you a cute story instead of a sad story about Vitor. This is a story about somebody who... was in the airport. A lady went to the airport. She had to catch a flight. And you know how it is. You rush and then you're there early. So she went to buy a newspaper, a magazine. And she looked for some kosher cookies. So she found a package of kosher chocolate chip cookies. So she took it. She went to sit down. You know how it is. They have chairs lined up. And she went and sat down. The cookies on the chair next to her. And she's reading. She opened it up and she's reading her magazine. So she takes a cookie and she eats it. On the other side of the cookies, there's another frum lady. You know, all the frum people sit together in the airport. So another frum lady, and out of the corner of her eye, she sees this lady's also reading, and she takes a cookie. She didn't mind the cookie, but she should at least ask. But she didn't say anything. And she took a cookie again. And again, she sees this lady, she takes a cookie, she takes a cookie. Then she takes a cookie, and the other lady takes a cookie. You know, she couldn't read the magazine, her blood is boiling, she didn't know what to do. So finally, they come to the last cookie. So she's doesn't look this lady in the face. She's looking out of the corner of her eye. This lady takes the cookie, cracks it in half, puts half back, and eats the other half. And then they call her flight. So she jumps up and runs over to her flight, and they ask her for a boarding pass. She opens up her bag, and inside she sees her package of cookies. It seems it was the other lady's package of cookies that was on the chair between them. And she was the one taking the other lady's cookies. And this other lady was nice enough to take the last cookie, crack it in half, and give her half of it. What a story, you know. Nothing without it. Imagine if afterwards she had told us something nasty. You know, it's you, it's not me, it's you. You got the story wrong. When the story actually happened, I don't know, but somebody actually told it. But there's a tremendous lesson in being mevater. The hepach of midas sadayim is to be mevater, to let things go. Do things really, really matter? Do things really matter that much? To let go. People get caught up in the moment, especially when it comes to financial things. It's not because people need the money. They always tell me, it's not the money, it's the principle. If it's the principle, swallow the principle and get on with life. You have more to live about than these narishkeit. You know? So these people come to me with a taina. They have a taina on somebody. They have a taina on somebody. I tell them, get on with your life. This is what you have to worry about. This is what bothers you. And nothing else to worry about. Vitor, it's a wonderful marshal. Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes, great line, he says, Vitor, hu simin hachacham. He writes such a lashon. That Vitor is not the sign of Midas Tavis. Sign of Midas Tavis. But Vitor is a sign of intelligence. Intelligent people don't get hung up about cookies or about their bench. I don't know the whole story, and I'm not Don the person. I don't know who he is. You'll see, he had the bench removed, and it was cemented. You can see, it's a round thing, right at the edge of the thing. You don't have to walk on this property. You can see on the ground, it's ugly, the two cement things. I don't know, he must have gotten some saw to cement off the bench. There's no bench there. Nobody can sit there. He can't sit there. So you're telling me he doesn't want you to sit there because he'll have to sit there. So I don't know, I'm not in the Kafskos. It could be that there were kids hanging out at night, making noise, leaving cigarettes, and later, it could be. But every time I walk past it, I think, well, you know, I'm learning the Musa from it. The Musa, a person can't be Mavater, you put a bench in front and let people sit. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I must tell me I'm wrong. But it bothers me, I go into a frum store, and they have a sign, bathroom is for customers only. I mean, if a frum guy walks in and wants to use the bathroom, he has to buy a bagel in order to use your bathroom? Really? I understand. They don't want everyone walking in. I don't see people lining up to use bathrooms in stores anyway, but, you know, maybe if they're a college or the college, I don't know. But do you really mean that if someone comes in and wants to use the bathroom, you're not going to let them use the bathroom? You really think so? A frum person has such an attitude. No, you think so? I don't know. I doubt it. But you see, we have a sense of bailus, of ownership. We own things. It's Ashkafas HaChayim. To learn from Midas Sadaim. The Mishnah says, Shali Shali B'Shalcha Shalcha is Midas Sadaim. In America, Shali Shali Shalcha Shalcha is normal. What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Mishnah calls it Midas Sadaim. Yes, I remember. So maybe Midas Sadaim. Why is it Midas Sadaim? What's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Because the what's mine is mine, what does that mean, what's mine is mine? You're focused on what's mine is mine? You end up Midas Sadaim. A person who's makbid that what's mine is mine ends up making mistakes in the gray areas of what's his. A lot of things can be interpreted two ways. So, from Midas Sadaim, we learn about an akedah, giving up your life. I'm not talking about giving up your life. Everyone's ready to jump into fire. Kiddush Hashem. I'm talking about giving up little things in life. Being mevater, sometimes it's harder to give up the little things. Being mevater, look the other way. You know, like get a life together. You're so upset that that he parked and his bumper is blocking your driveway. You're so upset about it. You get a life. You know, you have other things to do in life besides worrying about these narishkei. Okay, we should all learn to be mevater. Hashem, a good Shabbos to everybody.